Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown Atlanta. I'm here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. So recognizing that it is spirits ask that it be allowed to live in us, as us, and through us, we are a center then that welcomes everyone. We welcome and honor you for who you are, not because of your differences, but because we all come from the same source. And yet we get to be our own unique individual selves within that source, within that one energy, that one power. So I welcome you to our center. We are a place that not only honors you, but it gives you an opportunity to grow, to learn, and to participate in the spiritual community that supports you because we believe in you and we believe in who you are. We are a place that is not just in Atlanta. We are spread around the world because of the internet and because we have that opportunity. So for whether you're listening on one of our feeds or if you're listening here in our Zoom meeting or wherever you are, know that we consider you part of us. We are all connected and living within that one power, that one energy. To further understand a bit of what we teach and what we believe, I invite you to join me as we share together our Declaration of Principle. This was written by Dr. Ernest Holmes, our founder, prior to an interview on the radio show. He just kind of sat down and wrote it out in a fairly short time, and it has been slightly edited, but mostly stayed with us all these years. What matters most is what you believe. However, we use this as a way to measure and to compare our beliefs with the beliefs of our organization. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. So it is. At this time, the wonderful our guest speaker for our next segment is a practitioner, a wonderful practitioner from South Florida. Her name is Norma Roberts. She is going to bring us a few words of wisdom and followed by an affirmative prayer or spiritual mind treatment, as we call it. Norma?
I am not Norma. There seem to be some technical difficulties getting Norma on board here. So I'm Reverend Jackie Dougherty. I'll be talking to you later, but right now let's just know the truth. And the truth is that there really only is God. All there is one life, one presence, one power, one mind, one creative activity, one beautiful, loving essence of good. And it is right here where I am. It is right here where each of us is. It is right everywhere present, fully present, ready, willing, and able to express itself as love, as beauty, as goodness, as power, as joy, as all that is the goodness of life. I know that each one of us being filled with this presence, being in this presence and of and as this presence, receives and hears exactly what he or she needs at this time. Whatever needs, whatever is most dear to each one's heart, is felt and heard and expressed and understood and embodied so that it empowers each one's life as we go forward from this time together into the busyness of everyday life. What has reached the heart continues to percolate within the mind and to express outwardly in our world. And so I know that this time together is good, it is rich, it is enlightening, it is inspiring. And so I gratefully accept this truth with and for each one, releasing my word into that creative law, knowing that it always says yes and creates just what has been spoken in the way that is best and greatest for each one. And so I let go, knowing it is so. And so it is.
I am free, right where I am, a piece of a puzzle, a part of the plan. I am free, I cleaned up my debt, I take time to accept all the beauty around me. I won't walk like a slave today, chained to my regret, my past and my future fate. I forgive, I won't forget that I am free in the truth of each moment, by the love heaven sent in my heart. I believe that I am free, with bird song in the morning, bright light from the sun, the moon. I feel the wind, the sand, the sea. I won't talk like a slave today, suffering to survive my past and my future fate. I find myself alive, but I am free, right where I am, a piece of the puzzle, a part of the plan. I am free, I follow my breath, mindful with each step along this curious journey. I won't walk like a slave today, chained to my regret, my past and my future fate. I forgive, I won't forget that I am free, I am free,
Thank you, Norma, and thank you for that wonderful music. At this time, I'd like to introduce our guest speaker today, who is a wonderful former minister in my own organization back in Philadelphia. She has been a practitioner, a support. She's been on the board there. She's done many things. And she started her own center in Reading, Pennsylvania, as a satellite from the Philly Center, but then she moved on to create that into its own entity, and for the last 10 years has been its minister. She is recently retired and now a full-time family member for her own family, and being with her niece and nephew and great niece. But she's also continuing her ministry as an individual leader and mentor, and working with folks to grow spiritually and to put together the spiritual practices as a methodology or a way to live and continue to grow in life. So I invite you to enjoy the wonderful and the clear, clear consciousness of Reverend Jackie Dougherty.
Thank you, Reverend Bob. It's my pleasure to have been asked to be here today. Even though we're so many miles apart, this is great. I love it's funny how a situation like the pandemic can make wonderful things possible that we might not have thought about before. And so thank you for inviting me, and I'm very happy to be here. So you are aware, I think, that today's topic is freedom. And I was supposed to have announced that last song that was Freedom. It was about freedom by Sloane Wainwright. And perfect, absolutely perfect, as was the other music at the beginning. It fits with everything we're talking about today. So you can't possibly study science of mind without realizing that it's all about freedom. Ernest Holmes uses the word freedom in the textbook on the very first page. He uses it five times just on the first page alone. He also has a very bold statement, one of the Declaration of Principles, which I see you read or recite every week, which are longer than just the ones that were used today. And as Reverend Bob said, the Declaration of Principles was really a declaration of Ernest Holmes's belief when he was asked what he believed for an interview that he was going to have. And so the one that actually happens to be my favorite is a very bold statement. And it says, I or we believe the ultimate goal of life to be a complete emancipation from all discord of every nature, and that this goal is sure to be attained by all. I consider that a very bold statement. He says complete emancipation, complete freedom from all discord of every nature. What's he talking about? Sin, suffering, sickness, disease, pandemic, war, hate, conflict, poverty, you name it, all discord of every nature. And not only are we the ultimate goal of life is to be free of all of that, but that everyone, he says, all, everyone is sure to attain that. So I think that really is a bold statement. And if it's not about freedom, I don't know what is. So back to the textbook, we have on the very first page of the textbook, he talks about freedom. And one of the things he says, and we do have a slide for this, he says, the divine plan is one of freedom. Bondage is not God ordained. God has nothing to do with any of the limitations that we find ourselves in. We have created them by in some way separating ourselves from that source in our belief or in our feelings. The divine plan is one of freedom. Here's another thing he says. Freedom is the birthright of every living soul. It's our birthright. Every one of us knows deep in our heart that freedom is our birthright. This is why prisoners try to escape from prison. It's why the slaves in the South ran away knowing they were risking their lives or their severe punishment. There's something in each one's heart that knows that freedom is our birthright. Here's another one. The inherent nature of man is forever seeking to express itself in terms of freedom. There's something within us that always wants to express that freedom because it is our inherent nature. It's always wanting to show itself. It always wanting to express itself, and we are always wanting to experience that. Another thing he says in the very beginning, even on the first page, is that the seed of freedom is planted within us. It's already within us, which is what we're saying. But he says we have to make that great discovery for ourselves. We can't just be told that we're free, even though we are. We have to find that out. We have to discover that for ourselves. There's an interesting legend told by Emmett Fox, a wonderful Unity author and speaker. The legend is that in the Middle Ages, that there was a prisoner of a certain country who was arrested by one of the barons and thrown into this awful dungeon by this ferocious looking jailer who had this great big key. And he was there for 20 years. Every day the jailer would come and he would open the door. The door creaked open and he would put in bread and water and then slam the door shut. Well, this went on for 20 years. Finally, the fellow thought, you know, I can't live like this anymore. I just want to die. But he didn't want to commit suicide. So he said, I know what I'll do. When the jailer comes with my food tomorrow, I'll attack him and then he'll kill me. And that'll be it. So he decided to go forward with his plan. And he thought, well, let me just look over the room here and the door. And when he went to the door, he touched the handle and it opened. There was no lock on it. It was open. So he went out. He went down the corridor. He went up the steps, and at the top of the steps were two soldiers just chatting with each other, never really noticed him. He walked past them, walked all the way down the corridor, out the door into the courtyard, going towards the drawbridge. And there was an armed guard by the drawbridge who didn't even seem to notice him either. And he left. He was free. So the legend is that, the moral of the story is that he was never a prisoner, really. He was never locked in. He was only a prisoner in his own thought. And so that's what Ernest Holmes is talking about, that we, just as the prisoner discovered that there was never a lock there, that we are free. But it's a whole lifelong process of discovering that freedom. And I think that's probably what's symbolized by the 20 years of the prisoner being imprisoned. So it takes a whole lifetime. Our whole life is about that journey of discovering our freedom. But let's talk about right now, let's talk about how are we free now? Now, well, Ernest Holmes says one of the ways that we're free is that we have the freedom to choose. In fact, he says, if we didn't have the ability to choose, we wouldn't be free. We'd be stuck with things just as they are. And we wouldn't be individuals if we didn't have the ability to choose. So he says, we have to be able to choose more than one course of action. There has to be something to choose from, one or the other. And he says, we have to be free to choose even that which causes us to suffer. And that sounds a little unfair, maybe. But we can choose to eat things that aren't healthy. We can choose to abuse alcohol or drugs. We could choose not to forgive someone. We can choose to be hurtful. We can choose to do any one of those things, and we'll undoubtedly suffer the consequences. We'll suffer something as a result, not because we're being punished, but because as spiritual beings made in the image and likeness of goodness and love, if we go against that nature that is goodness and love, we're going to bring suffering upon ourselves in one way or the other. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, there are certain circumstances or situations in our life where it seems that we don't have choice. We can't choose the way somebody's going to treat us. That's their choice. We can't choose to make somebody do what we think they should do or what we want them to do. Have you ever tried? We can't choose to make this pandemic go away overnight, much as we would like to. So are we really free? Is the question. James Dillett Freeman, actually another Unity author and poet, he wrote a beautiful poem that talks about this. It's called Freedom Within. I actually have it right back here. I cut it out and framed it, but he's got a picture of a hawk. And his poem goes, how free the hawk who at the height of heaven flings himself in flight. But his free flights had to start not in the sky, but in his heart. Likewise with me, how shall I find freedom if not within my mind? And learn, as thought by thought I try, that I may fall, yet I can fly, and even sometimes rise up free above the highest heights of me. I love that poem. How shall I find freedom if not within my mind? I may not be free to choose how somebody treats me. I'm not free to decide how long this pandemic is going to last. But I am free to choose how I'm going to think about that person or how I'm going to think about this pandemic. Louise Hay has a wonderful statement. She says, you are the only thinker in your mind. I really like that. I wonder how many of you along the way decided that you could no longer accept what was being taught to you in the religion that you grew up with, If I could see you, you might be raising your hand. I think it's safe to say that most of us in this line of thinking, in this teaching, consider ourselves independent thinkers. Most of us aren't willing to swallow something that's said by someone just because they're an authority on it. The Pope, the priest, the rabbi, the guru, the authority in any particular field. A lot of people who don't believe what the scientists are saying right now about climate change or about the virus or the vaccine for it. A lot of people don't believe that, even though authorities are speaking. So yeah, we are the thinkers in our own mind. Yay for us. We're the thinkers in our own mind. But, and I always bring in the big but, what about the race consciousness, the collective thought of the whole human race? We're part of it. We're breathing the same mental air. And there's a lot of pollution in it, you probably have noticed. When COVID first hit, there was a lot of fear and panic in the race thought, in the collective consciousness. Fear about not having enough toilet paper to, you know, gosh, how close was I to this person who might even have had the virus? It was really easy to get swept up in all of that, wasn't it? It's also easy to get swept up now. Look at the events of January 6th, the attack on the Capitol. I doubt that you were swept up in the hate and the violence. But what about the horror and indignation about what was happening? It was easy, it still is easy, to think this is not what our country is. This is not what we stand for. And most of us probably feel strongly about this threat. It's a real threat happening right now to our democracy. And rightly so, that we would be upset or indignant about it. But here's the question. Is our reaction one of fear or anger or despair? And if it is, it's not that different from what the rioters are feeling. Whether you agree with them or not, it's clear that they're afraid that they're losing what they think our country stands for. So here we are. We're surrounded by, we're immersed in the collective consciousness of fear and anger and confusion and chaos. So again, where's the freedom? How are we free? And how can we be the independent thinkers that we'd like to believe we are? Holmes has something pretty wonderful to say about that. He says, to assert our individuality is to rise above the law of averages into that more specialized use of the law, which brings freedom rather than bondage, joy in the place of grief, and wholeness instead of sickness. We cannot do this unless we are first willing to, quote, judge not according to appearances. In this judging not according to appearances, we are impressing the law with a new idea of ourselves, a less limited idea. And we are learning to think independently of any existing circumstances. This is what is meant by entering the absolute. What's the absolute? Well, in the glossary, he says the absolute is another word for God. The absolute is the unconditioned, that which is not conditioned by anything else or anyone else, that which is not dependent on or determined by anything. It stands on its own. That's the absolute, which is why we say the name of God is I am. That's it, I am. So with regard to the current situation, I need to ask myself, is the way that I'm thinking about this, or the way I'm thinking about those people, adding to the problem, or is it helping to change it? Holmes talks about unconscious, innocent malpractice. Interesting phrase. So the example he gives is a mother that has her little child is sick. And so she says, oh, the poor little sick thing, the poor little thing. And he calls that unconscious, innocent malpractice. It's malpractice because it's a wrong use of thought. It's innocent because she isn't, in it, she's not meaning to hurt the child. And it's unconscious because she's not aware of how it's affecting the child. So we can be outraged at what happened, but we mustn't stop at the outrage. We can feel concerned, and we can take even take whatever action we feel called to take, but we want to be aware of what we're thinking while we're taking action. We're thinking in the absolute when we remember that there's only one power. It's a power for good, and it's a power, an intelligent power that knows how to bring about good despite what is showing up, despite how it looks. It knows how to bring about good, and it can bring about good. That's thinking in the absolute. We're thinking in the absolute when we know that the negative traits and behaviors of others aren't the truth about them. It's not the truth about them. They're created out of the goodness of God, just as everyone is, and we are. So thinking in the absolute frees us from the influence of the collective consciousness. And it helps to set others free too, because we're not projecting that consciousness on them, which should actually just perpetuate it anyway. We stop malpracticing on them. So here we are again. How are we free? Where are we free? Just like the poem said, and interestingly, the author of the poem's name was Freeman, James Dillard Freeman. But he said, we're free, always free in our mind. Always free in our mind. Free to think the way we want to think, regardless of what's happening. And that's what's meant by having dominion. Holmes uses that expression, having dominion. Having dominion doesn't mean having dominance. It actually means not being dominated. And this applies to everything, every area of our life. I know you all have situations and conditions and circumstances in your own life that challenge you to not be swayed by the appearance, not be caught in the negativity of what's going on or what others are thinking or saying. So the message today is that you're free. We're all free. You are the only thinker in your mind, and you can choose how you want to think about whatever it is that's going on, whatever are those conditions or situations in your life. You're free to think about them the way you choose to think about them. And I'm sure you know that the way you're thinking about them determines how they're going to show up in your life, how they're going to manifest. So I invite you this week, you want to take the time to think about how you're thinking about whatever you're thinking about. I'll say that again. Take the time to think about whatever you're thinking about, the thing you're thinking about. Thought by thought is what the poem said. And you know, we have thousands of thought every day, thousands of thoughts every day, thought by thought, from the slightest, most mundane or seemingly insignificant things like being annoyed in traffic, or maybe a certain discomfort or pain in your body, watching the news, a serious diagnosis of a loved one. The whole gamut from what seems insignificant to quite serious. Thought by thought, how am I thinking about this? You can choose. You can choose how you want to think about it. You can choose to be an independent thinker. It's not easy. I don't think I have to tell you that. And Ernest Holmes didn't think it was easy. Here's another statement that he said. We have a slide for this one. He said, there's nothing harder than keeping the thought straight and nothing else so desirable. Think about that one. It's really, really hard to keep the thought straight, but it's so desirable because it frees us from the angst and the anger and the reaction and all of that. So I want to close with another reading. This is also from Holmes. It's from a book called Discover a Richer Life. And he said this. Individually and collectively, let those of us who espouse the cause of a new spiritual freedom enjoy to drink from the waters of increased knowledge, and in gladness distribute the good we have to the four winds of heaven. We have so much good that we can share just by our thought. Let us keep persistently in our minds that it is our desire, individually and collectively, that everything we touch shall be healed. And I think everything we touch with our thought, every person made glad, every situation properly revitalized. So let's take a few minutes to go within. Close your eyes if you're comfortable doing so, or just glance down so you're not distracted. And maybe bring back to mind that poem and that hawk flying so high in the sky. And just imagine if you were that hawk flying in the sky, if you could look down from such a height that you would be, what you would see. Everything would look so much smaller than it actually is. Sure, you've done that if you've flown anywhere in a plane. When you're up that high, what's down below just looks so, so much smaller. So right now, bring to mind something in your life, a challenge, a difficulty, problem, situation that's difficult for you to understand or to cope with. It could be something happening right now in your own life, or as we were saying, what's happening right now in our country or in the world. Or it could be something from the past, but something that's very difficult to understand or to know how to think about. And imagine yourself lifting higher, 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 just as though you were flying. And that problem, that challenge, is down below on the ground. And notice how small it looks. Depending on how high you go, it could maybe even disappear. There's a quote in, I believe it's the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, that says how high God's thoughts are above our thoughts. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And that doesn't mean that God's way up in the sky. We know we don't believe in a God up in the sky. But the metaphysical or the spiritual way of seeing that is that above and beyond the problem, the situation, the condition, the difficulty, there is something so much higher and greater, bigger and better, because the source is infinitely good. And so we can lift our thought. It takes effort, it takes attention, it takes persistence, but we can. And so know with me that this one source, this one infinite power, this one pure goodness is the life of each one. It is my life. It is everyone's life. And the vision of this one, the way this infinite source sees all, as it says in the very beginning of Scripture, it sees all that is made and sees that it is good and very good. And I know that each one of us has this ability to see with this clarity, with this certainty, with this vision of truth, that there is only good, and that there is a way that everything can be turned around, can be lifted into the good. So I claim this truth right here and now, knowing that it is the truth, and because it is the truth, it always outs itself. And I accept with and for each one this beautiful truth, freedom, goodness. Let it go because it is so. And so it is.
Thank you for that wonderful talk, Reverend Jackie. You'll now hear from one of our board members, Cynthia McCarthy. She is a minister in her own right and a wonderful contributor to our board and to the life of our center. Join me in welcoming Reverend Cynthia McCarthy.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here, Reverend Jackie. That was absolutely wonderful and very inspirational. So on behalf of the Board of Trustees and our viewers, thank you. And I think I speak for everyone when I say we would love to have you back again sometime. That was delightful. So I am a member of your Board of Trustees, and this is our time when we shift into discussing our offering and for the center and the spiritual principles of abundance and prosperity. We believe in these principles wholeheartedly here, and we appreciate so much the way that our viewers and our members support our center, obviously with your gifts, your tithes, your time and your talents. We have many volunteers. We have so many ways that you support us, and we are a thriving center operating in divine prosperity, and we are very grateful for that. There are many ways that you can give to our center. If the best way is if you go to our website, which is cslmidtown.org, and there's a right in the top bar, there's a donate link there, and that will take you to our One Realm. You can set that up on a recurring basis, or you can do that once in a while whenever you feel comfortable doing that. You can send checks in. We do have a new mailing address, and that is also on our website as well. So let's take this moment to say our affirmation of prosperity. And I invite you to say this out loud and really think about the ways you participate in the law of circulation with your giving and your receiving. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. All right, so now we can switch into some announcements that we have. And I'm hoping that screen's going to pop up. There it is. Lovely. Okay. Hey, tomorrow is a new month. We are headed into March already. And how wonderful. The theme for March is open to possibilities. Reverend Dr. Bob will be back next Sunday. That'll be March 7th. And the topic for that day is living in the question, a high idea. So tune in for that. We do have a couple events coming up. We have our annual meeting for March 21st, right after the service. And I believe that's going to be where we all switch over to Zoom to be able to interact and have that meeting. And if you've been tuning in and you consider yourself a member of the center, you're going to want to show up and participate in that and come to that meeting. You can visit with us on Tuesday afternoons at noon. We do a spiritual empowerment session. It's a small group session where we check in with Reverend Dr. Bob, anything that's on our hearts and minds that maybe you might want treatment or prayer for. And so we check in as a small group. You can also just come on and listen. You don't have to speak if you don't want to do that. And he leads us in a wonderful spiritual mind treatment. We are on Facebook, and we always appreciate the way that you share our messages and you, share our posts, and it helps get our center out there. We appreciate that. You can now subscribe to our YouTube channel. That is one of the new ways that we are streaming on our services every Sunday, that you can watch that. I've been watching it on my big screen TV. You can just sit in your living room. It's awesome. Do that with your YouTube, our YouTube channel. We do have our Sunday morning discussion group that's led by our practitioners. That's at 10 a.m. They're working on the book 365 Science of Mind, which is the little meditation reading. And you don't have to do the reading if you don't want to. You can still pop on in before service at 10 a.m. That's on the Zoom link as well. All this information is on our website as well. If you feel like you're missing it, just pop over to the website when you have time. We have practitioners that are ready to serve you, ready to work with you with treatment. You can reach out to them, again, also via our website. There's a link there if you want to just put your prayer request in, or also I believe their contact information is there too. I think I've gotten through everything, and I think we're going to shoot this back to a video of Dr. Bob closing us out.
Thank you, Reverend Cynthia. So join me, if you will, in our closing. This is an affirmation we do each week because it carries us forward with good ideas. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create a life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is.